Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. It says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road riding high.
You didn't build that.
Mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fear.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
And welcome aboard the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. We do not concern ourselves with the cost. Look, this is our freedom, damn it. Look, freedom ain't cheap, I'll give you that, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program? We'll be taking calls, as always, in the second hour, 646-716-7978. Or you can join the captain's chat room. But if you do want to speak tonight, make sure you press the number one. It gives me a little icon, tells me that you want to talk. Otherwise, it tells me that you want to listen. And listening is okay. Listening is just fine. Now, remember, If you do have a story out there where you've been tyrannized in any way, and I don't care by who, cops, judges, lawyers, Walmart greeters, it doesn't matter. If you've been tyrannized, you've got a story, you got to get it out there. Well, here's what you do. You get on Facebook, you type in the captain. It shows up news personality. You send me a little message. Captain, I've been tyrannized. I got to get my story out. Well, guess what happens? Well, you climb aboard to get your story out. And that's just what happened today. Somebody sent me a message. Hey, I've been tyrannized. I got to get my story out. Well, they're going to come on this week. Hopefully this week or maybe next week. It's that simple. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to simply give you a platform on which you can exercise your First Amendment right. It's not my speech. It's your speech. I don't care what you have to say. If you, whatever your story is your story. That's who I am. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to vet you too much. It's your story. Whatever it is whatever it is. It's your opportunity to exercise your First Amendment right. That's what this show is all about. All right, now real quick. I want you to make sure that you listen to all my good friends that are on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got a bunch of them. I got a bunch of them. My good friends at the Global Patriot Network, Vito Esposito, he's on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. My first mate, Kel Fritzy, is on Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Annie from Southern Sense, who also comes on my Friday night show. We've also got Raquel Oikiai and Efren Gonzalez. I'm not exactly sure what days or when they are. I need to get that information because I've got to start plugging their show. Raquel has been on this show several times. I think you know who she is. But I need to get their information and make sure we get that out. So you've got to listen to this stuff. I'm sorry, this is where you're getting the real news here. You're not getting the news on the television. You're not getting the news on the news. You're getting the news right here on Blog Talk Radio. Why? Well, because you have real people talking about real issues. That is the real news. What you see on television, that's your fake news. That's where your fake news is. Also support my girlfriend Audrey Russo from Real Talk. She's on Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. I think she's simulcast still on Red State Radio. Well, anyway, it's been a very long time since I've been on the air. I had an opportunity to go back home and see my family that I couldn't resist it. I couldn't pass it up. It was an accident that I got a chance to go home. I didn't have the money. I didn't have this, but something came up and I got my opportunity. So I seized it and I went home. I got to see my mom. I got to see my brothers. I got to see all my friends and I loved it. It was over Christmas. It was over New Year's and it was a great time. I am so glad that I got my opportunity to go home and see my family and see my friends. And that's where life really is your family and your friends. Never forget that. But anyway, I'm back here now. I got to get back to work. And there's a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. And I never shut up, so I'm going to try to shut up as much as I can because we have our Homeland Security expert, Chuck Williams, waiting in the wings here to come on. And we've got a lot to talk about. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is this event, I guess is what you have to call it, an event that happened in Fort Lauderdale, if it really happened at all, with this shooting. Now, the more that I watch, the more information that I see and I hear, I mean, the more nonsense that it is. I mean, I am literally drunk with all of the nonsense that I have been watching for the last couple of days. And I remember when it happened. I was flying home that day when it happened. And I got a story to tell. I'm going to wait till Chuck gets on to tell that story. Because, again, I never shut up, and we'll never get our guest on here. And he's the show here tonight. So we got a lot to talk about. Now, remember, be patient if you want to speak, because we have a lot to talk about. And I do respect your calls, and I do want to take your calls. But you're going to have to be patient, because we have a lot to talk about, a lot of important information to get out. But I'm going to try to get to your calls in the second hour as quickly as I can. So, in any event, let's bring our Homeland Security expert on here, Chuck Williams. Chuck, my good friend, long time. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, the last time that you were on here, we had talked that there was going to be another one. And, you know, we knew it. We called it. You called it. Everybody called it. And yet here we are. Now, my first question for you is, and this dawned on me today as I'm watching all of this nonsense. And I really am. The more that you watch, the more that you see, you're just like, oh, my God, you cannot believe the fakery. I mean, fakery here, fakery there. But here's what I'd like to know. It's a two-part question, but the first part is more rhetorical because I think we know the answer to it. But the second one, I want to ask your opinion on this. But with the live or the what they call the raw footage of this shooting, okay, there's only one angle to it, and I understand you can't show all the angles and you can't show people getting, you know, their head blown off, blah, 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 blah. But why was it – now, this is what – it dawned on me, and I just was like, this is mind-boggling to me. You've got raw footage of this shooting, and instead of it being released to ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, blah, 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 it's released to TMZ. TMZ? Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? This raw footage is only released to TMZ? That right there, a big red flag popped up on that. But here's what my question for you. With this, and I called my brother and I asked him, and he says, you know, you might be right. Was this shooting or could this shooting actually have been the raw footage that we shot, not the shooting, but the raw footage? Could that raw footage actually could have been shot somewhere else? Because, and the reason why I asked that, and it could be in a studio somewhere else. And the reason why I asked that, because I seen a video yesterday where these cops come in into the terminal, and they're all asking, did anybody hear gunfire? Where, you know, did anybody report gunfire? And everybody's standing around going, no, there was no gunfire. We didn't hear any gunshots. What the hell are you talking about? So then the cops, they quickly go up the escalator. So I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Obviously, I think this is my opinion, but I want to find out, you know, what you have to think on this. Is I think this the raw footage that we saw on TMZ, not on, you know, a news station, but TMZ, was actually shot in a studio or somewhere else. And then now we have, you know, we are told to believe that there was a shooting in this terminal. But nobody at the airport actually saw the shooting. Nobody heard it except for the crisis actors. Now, how far off base am I on that, Chuck?
I will tell you that there are layers. What you're speaking of is called in the industry, in the movie industry, is layers. You have the right. The live action, and then you have other parts that are edited in. So you're referring to this occurrence happening in layers. The live action shot, meaning the people that are running around, thinking like being asked, well, where are the shots coming from? And then they might edit in it being shot at a different location. But honestly, in this specific incident, I don't think that that's the case. I honestly think that he was on site and he was shooting people. Just from the amount of confusion that happens during a shooting, I just think that people nowadays are out to lunch and they don't register that things are actually happening. Because a firearm has the projectile obviously coming out of the front, the sound also goes in that direction. There have been times, documented cases, where people have been shooting, and the way that the sound escapes the point of origin, people don't register, depending on where they are, they don't register that there is actually a shooting going on. And this is, I've actually seen this within my own neighborhood. I used to live in a rough neighborhood. And down the street, there'd be people shooting. And if you are behind the sound, in other words, the sound is traveling away from you, very much like an ambulance would be blaring, coming at you, and then the sound changes once it passes you. If you're behind the sound and you're just traveling away from you, you might not hear it as clearly. And if that's the case, you might not register it as being a gunshot. Now, that said,
right.
Conversely, there have been cases where, in my professional opinion, there have been these so-called occurrence layers put together and perpetrated as they were a real occurrence, meaning the last one, I personally had people investigate the shooting that occurred in France, where there's a famous footage where there's a masked gunman who comes out and he levels AK-47 at a man's head. He clearly misses his head, and then the French police use that and says, you know what, there was a shooting where a French police officer was killed. The Charlie Hebdo attack is what I'm referring to. I know for a fact that that footage was shot in Canada. There are a lot of movie studios over the last 10, 15 years that have been getting an increased amount of international business, and they're located in Canada. You have the shows The Arrow, Supergirl, a lot of CW shows that are produced and made in Canada. So, you know, that actually can happen. But in this specific case, my professional opinion is I've looked at the footage, I've looked at how things have been conducted in this specific incident, and I don't believe that it was shot in layers. I don't believe that it was a visually constructed false flag, but I do believe that it was an absolute false flag because of the simple fact that this gentleman checked himself into a mental institution, and that right there should have disqualified him from being able to hold on to his firearm. Because basically what you're doing is when you turn your physical body over to a state agency or government agency and you say, listen, my mind is corrupted, therefore I cannot control my body, you have to do it for me. That basically is what being committed means, is that you no longer have control over your body. Thus, you cannot have control over firearms. And in this case, we find out that he's made threats, and the FBI have visited him at least twice, and that his firearm was taken. Now, the disconnect occurs when he applies to get his firearm back. He actually retrieves his firearm. The police, the government, everybody fails the citizens of the United States and gives this man his weapon back, being not mentally sound. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I've been on your show before. I am pro Second Amendment, like you would not believe, from here to Pluto and back again. I'm actually carrying right now.
I know where you're going with this, and I'm 100%. I'm the same way with you. What this guy goes into a psych ward. He goes into the FBI and says, "Hey, look, the government is forcing me to watch these ISIS videos, and he's got some other psychological issues." So they sent him into a mental institution for, like, I guess, 2 weeks. Okay. First of all, why is this guy allowed to have a gun again, and why is he allowed to carry a gun or check a gun on an aircraft? Now, that doesn't make any sense, and Canada has no record of him being on board any flight, much less checking in a gun. I mean,
I'm going to explain it because there was some confusion. Now, first of all, at first when it was reported, and I'm chalking this up to either one of two things. Either it's shoddy reporting or they actually were going to go with this story, and maybe they had some designs on making this into a bigger issue. But for whatever case is, we know that as it was reported in the beginning, that he's a New Jersey native and he was flying in from Canada, and then he retrieved his weapon. Okay, now there's a whole bunch wrong with that. First of all, New Jersey is very gun restrictive. Second of all, I personally have been trained in and partaken into the process of getting your weapon, having it transported to another state if you're going to fly. The process is you have to get two TSA approved lockable aluminum cases, and they're not. They're easy to find, but they're not sold locally, pretty much. You really have to mail off and get those. Once you go to the airport, you first of all, you have to be legally entitled what they say, legally entitled to be able to transport your firearm, meaning the state where you're coming from and the state that you're going to recognizes your right to carry that firearm. Now, let me explain what that is. If I'm a Delaware resident, which I am, and I'm going to Texas, my reciprocity covers me in Texas, so I can legally carry concealed and unload my weapon, put the ammunition back in the original boxes, put that in one box, and put my weapon with a gun lock on it in the other box. So the ammunition has to be in the original box in a lockable case. The gun has to have a gun lock on it in a separate locked box in an aluminum case. I can then go to the airport and I declare my weapon. I say, I am transporting a weapon. They're like, well, where are you going? Okay, I'm going to Texas. Okay? That's not a problem because Texas is a very gun-friendly state. It's never an issue. So then they check your weapon. They make sure it's unloaded. They make sure the ammunition's in its original box. You lock it up. They give you a tag receipt, and then that gun goes off and directly into the aircraft behind the scenes. Nobody knows about it. In this case, he was actually flying in from Alaska. He allegedly has a girlfriend in Alaska. So he wasn't coming from Canada. That was a misquote. So he lands in Florida, and he goes to retrieve his weapon because that's how it comes out. It comes out in a baggage claim. And he retrieved his weapon, allegedly from how the story is being reported to us. He goes and loads his weapon. Now, first of all, he should have had two lockable cases because you cannot fly. You cannot transport a firearm unless it's in those locked cases. And I'm waiting for the media to come out and say that. They haven't said that thus far. They just said that he retrieved it from a bag. Now, being trained of the TSA process and actually having gone through it, I'm looking for that media confirmation that he transported his weapon the way he was supposed to. If not, he shouldn't have been able to fly. Okay?
Right.
So he retrieves his weapon, loads it up, and then goes on his little shooting rampage. So this is a false flag. I'm declaring this a false flag because let me explain what a false flag is. A false flag is any time that there is an occurrence where the government has some sort of input, has some sort of material a transfer, has some sort of a planning input to an occurrence where American citizens or anybody around the world have lost their lives because of a violent act. Okay?
Right.
This has happened before. So in this case, the government, I allege, gave him back his firearm while knowing he was not mentally of sound mind to be able to deal with that firearm. Now, I'm pro-Second Amendment, so here to the moon and back again. Here to the Pluto and back again. I don't believe that American citizens should be without their firearms unless they cannot handle them. And in this case, he demonstrated checking himself into a mental institution. He was not of sound mind. He should have had his firearms removed from him at least until a doctor ruled that he is of sound mind, he's better now, he's out of his depression, whatever it is. But this didn't happen. This did not happen. He went back to the police, and they turned his firearm back over to him. That is exactly what allowed this shooting in the airport to occur, a breakdown in the oversight of the government. And that's a soft way of saying they helped this guy.
Right, it almost seemed like it was done deliberately. It's like, you know, here's your firearm. Basically, go out and commit a crime with it. And so we can have a story to tell, and we can take guns away from the people that, you know, who are responsible. I mean, it did, you know, that's shame on the FBI and shame on the law enforcement for allowing this guy not only to get his gun back, but to allow him to supposedly check his gun on an aircraft. And, you know, and now here's the thing. Here's the story that I wanted to tell. Now, I was flying home on Friday, that day that it happened. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I got to get on an aircraft tonight. The security is going to be just ridiculous. It's going to be a nightmare. Well, the news was telling us that, you know, and I flew from PDX back to JFK. And they were telling us, oh, Portland, well, we're going to be beefing up security. We're going to be having, you know, canine units, and we're going to be having extra police and extra security and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I got to have to show up to the airport at least, you know, like 5 hours before I get on the, you know, the airplane. Well, my brother was like getting out from work, and he takes me in there, and I walked in. I didn't see one cop. I saw less TSA agents at the airport that night than I did when I flew home on the 19th of December. And I'm thinking to myself, where's all this security? Where is all of this? And I breezed right through the checkpoints, just went right through it, no problem. There was no canine units. There was not one cop. I didn't see one cop. I saw less TSA agents. I saw no security. And I'm thinking to myself after watching all this, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, now I'm starting to realize that maybe there was a little bit of BS that was going on with this, you know, with this shooting in Fort Lauderdale. But, I mean, it was just absolutely – I mean, there was nothing, Chuck. I mean, absolutely nothing. No security nowhere, and nobody seemed to care. The security officer or the TSA agents were laughing and chucking it up with me and saying, okay, let me check your hat. You know, they had to check my hat. And, oh, I love your hat. And they're making jokes and they're having fun. It's like nothing ever happened. And this is, I mean, it was mind-boggling to me. I'm thinking, wait a minute. There was supposedly this big shooting in Fort Lauderdale. You would think that all the airports would be on extra high alert, but they weren't, not even in PDX and not even when I came back into JFK. I mean, absolutely, I saw nobody when I came into JFK. I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing. And I had to go through baggage claim, you know, to get out of the airport. And there was not one cop, not one TSA agent, nowhere in the baggage claim area. Not one, not one. Not one. And I mean, I just don't get it. It was mind boggling to me. But here's the thing that I don't like about this. And again, and we've talked about this every time that you've been on here, these crisis actors. Now, every time there is an incident, now, whether it's real or not, there's no reason to have crisis actors, and we did see a lot of crisis actors. And what were all these camera crews doing there at the airport? I mean, I saw more cameramen shooting all of these people supposedly running, I guess, on cue. That's what I don't understand. How did CNN get there so quick? I mean, does CNN hang out at the airport? Does CNN have every single airport in the United States? They've got a camera crew. Why were all these camera crews there? These crisis actors, we've got that one woman who not only she was in a University of Michigan shirt, and she's being interviewed by CNN and claiming that her and her 90-year-old grandmother started running and with her other family. But she's hanging out outside with these two other women that obviously she didn't know. But the rest of the family is inside the lounge. She's outside crying to CNN. And then we see her again, and she's still got the same shirt on, but she has a vest. It looks like, like a construction vest. Looks like she was working at the airport, and they put a hat on her. It's clearly the same woman. And we saw other crisis actors in more than one shot. This is what I don't like. This is what I don't like. If it's a real event, you don't need crisis actors. You don't need actors. And that's all we're seeing.
Here's what I think is going on. When I speak of false flag, if they gave him back his weapon and they knew that he is a very high probability that he was going to go violent, they could have, and it looks like by other eyewitness accounts that they were having a drill at the same time. Right after the shooting occurred, they suspiciously decided to explode and detonate luggage as a drill right after the shooting occurred. So that tells me, first of all, you have to have the police there. You have to have the explosives there. You have to have the clearance there to do this drill. So it tells me that there were men and materiel that were pre-positioned to do what they were going to do. There's another eyewitness who said that in another part of the terminal where the shooting didn't even happen, he was seeing through the glass muzzle flashes, and he ran. He just ran. I think I posted that video in my group as well. So to me, it just sounds like they knew that he was going to do this, and he played the part of the real live element of this instability. And meanwhile, they decided to have the drill at the same time. So that's probably why there were so many conflicting accounts of what's going on, because it needs to be explained. Now I'm telling you right now, this was a false flag, without a doubt. I do believe that they probably knew that this was going to happen. I do believe that they pre-staged a men and materiel and possibly even news crews to catch the potential that this may happen. Now, it would have thrown their whole ball game into a tizzy if he decided not to do the shooting. That would really have messed their whole program up, because they're all dressed and there's no dates.
They're all dressed up and nowhere to go. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. But I do believe that with certainty, they had some sort of profile that they did on him, and they said that once he gets off the plane, that is the highest probability of him going postal. And that's exactly what he did, so they went with it. So, again, this was a false flag. They gave him back his gun, and there's evidence or eyewitness accounts of other things going on that should not have been there had this have been a issue that just happened to just come about, as opposed to being staged and being readied as if he was on cue.
But that is a shame on the FBI and law enforcement for allowing this guy to have a gun, right? I mean, that's shame on them.
Right.
I mean, that is. I mean, that really is. Now, here's one thing that I want to ask you, and I've got so many notes. I mean, I've got pages and pages and pages of notes that I have been taking for the last couple of days watching all this stuff, and I don't even know really where to start. I mean, there are so many things that just don't seem to want to add up. But I want to get your take on this and find out of really how true it really is. Now, what I have discovered, evidently, Florida was considering wanted to look at a bill in like 4 days before the shooting started that would allow guns inside the airport. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, first of all. But how true is that? And, you know, do you know anything about that? I mean, what the hell? Why would they consider a bill of allowing weapons in an airport? And then you've got Bill Nelson, which I've never been a fan of. He's a senator, and he's a head of a committee that actually, the Commerce Committee, which that doesn't make any sense to me, why the TSA would be under the Commerce Committee. But, I mean, that's another story for another day. But he is a big-time anti-gun guy, and he's obviously a head of the TSA, and it just doesn't seem to want to add up to me. I see a lot of holes in this, and
answer.
I see a lot of things that don't make sense. Is that true? Was Florida really considering a bill to allow firearms in the airport?
I'm still researching that, and early indications say that yes, they were considering it, and it was a good thing, and I'll tell you why. As it is right now, being a concealed carry permit holder in multiple states, I can go to, because I can also carry in Pennsylvania, if I go to Philadelphia Airport, I can carry my sidearm concealed in the airport up to the gate. I cannot go past the gate. And that is to basically escort my family members or my loved ones, and that's a good thing. You know, even if there's an incident in the terminal, you already have armed civilians who will aid in law enforcement in stopping whatever is going on, as opposed to being in Britain where everybody's disarmed except the police. So that's
right.
A good thing. Now, each state is also very different on how they view the Second Amendment. I don't know about Florida so much. I haven't researched exactly what the local laws are and the state laws are regarding airports and concealed carry or open carry. I do know that if Florida was considering to allow or to observe the American citizens' Second Amendment on airport property, that is a good thing. Now, what I also said on Raquel Okiai's show is that the people who are anti-Trump are also anti-gun. They're also very anti-American. They're anti-Constitution. And if
right.
they can't have it their way dictating policy from the top, they're going to do it from the other side. And this is how
right.
this is exactly what I told her listeners on the show. What happens is if you can't dictate policy from the top, you create an incident where you can poison the mind of the public against something good that you're about to do. Meaning if the Florida House and Senate want to approve a bill to observe the Second Amendment on airport property, which I think is a very good idea, they come out with or inspire or allow something to occur to demonize that
right.
effort before it gets signed into law. Therefore, people would pull their support for having guns on airport property, which is actually
helping these
incidents
to occur. Well, see, that was why I asked the question. Is there any validity to that? That's what I was really trying to get at, is were they trying to put a block on this bill from getting passed? That's why
yes.
I asked.
Yes.
That. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I think
you have to understand that if there's people that are anti-Constitution everywhere. They,
yeah.
they even have badges. They even have, you know, they're judges, they're lawyers, they're, you know, freaking burger flippers at McDonald's. And at times, some of them can work together. And I honestly think that this is one of these cases where it was an opportunity for the anti-American system to let something leak through, as in this guy giving his gun back to him, hoping he would do something stupid so that they can turn around and use that to say, you
right.
know what, you should pull the support for this because it's and we just had a dual shooting of two Florida police officers today, and the
really?
Second one just died. So yes, so you have this continuing occurrence of loss of life due to guns, and it's not the gun's fault, it's the actor's fault, but the way they're going to portray it as it is the gun's fault, oh, you know, we shouldn't sign. It's just going to keep happening because they're trying to design the outcome from the other side.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean when I say
no,
that?
No, I know. I completely understand, and this is so – I mean, so sick and twisted. Now, look, if you have an agenda, and if it really is worth anything, if it really has legs, and if the American people want it, you don't need to create these kinds of events to get your agenda across. You know what I mean? This is what is just – that's sick. That's twisted. That's wrong. That's mentally disturbed. I mean, these people, I mean, they just don't care. They seem like they don't really care about human life. They claim that they care about all this human life. But where's the evidence? Where's the evidence
right.
that you care about human life? All you care about is your agenda. Oh, just get rid of the gun. You think, okay, that's fine. Get rid of the gun. You really think you're going to get rid of killing? I mean, human beings have been killing human beings since human beings have been human beings. It's not going to get rid of the killing.
Right. Unfortunately, this is not something that we can fight fire with fire with. I honestly do believe that I have a sneaking suspicion that the liberals who do want to demonize our areas of the Constitution that we covet and that they hate the most, they will let things leak through like this, like giving this gentleman, this idiot back his gun so he can do a mass shooting and then demonize our Second Amendment locally. We can't fight fire with fire. We can't stage a mass shooting and then blame liberals for wanting to take our guns. We can't do that. We can't even stage a mass saving. You know what I mean? We would have to stage a mass saving to make us look good. So
you know, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, you're right. I mean, when I watched it unfold, and I'm watching with my little brother, and me and my little brother, we understand, and the rest of the family, you know, I come from a liberal family, and they just don't get it. You know, all they see is, oh, it's a gun. And guns kill, and so we got to take away the gun. They don't see the actual human being with the mean heart who's actually doing, you know, the killing. They just see the gun. That's all that they see. And both of us immediately said, okay, let's watch this closely. This doesn't seem to make sense. Because the first reports that we were getting, I was watching ABC with that idiot Muir, whatever his name is. He drives me nuts. I can't stand him. But they're claiming that this guy is walking around shooting people, claiming, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Jewish. I mean, what the hell? And that went away really quick. That claim went away pretty quick. That didn't even make any sense, first of all. And, you know, here's what I don't like is when the media is reporting this. How do they get all of this misreporting? And me and my brother, we talked. And I just want to get your take on this. It seems to me that they do this deliberately. The audience, which is you and me, the American people, confused. So we don't know the real facts because they don't want us to know the real facts. They want us confused because if we know what actually happened, well, then we're not going to be happy. But if we're confused, well, then all they got to say is, well, I don't really know what happened. It was a tragedy. It's sick. It's twisted, blah, blah, blah. Get rid of the gun. And that's what they want us to be. And that's what I don't like. I don't like that misreporting by the supposed news, which is actually the fake news. That's your ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and the rest of these jackwagons.
Media matters, but, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't stop.
Confusion is a battlefield tactic, and it is a 1,000-year-old-plus battlefield tactic. If the enemy is confused, then you have a better chance of prevailing. And the now that the Obama administration has signed written within the National Defense Authorization Act, giving the CIA and funding their efforts to counteract our type of news, you can expect that they are going to do the best that they can to misinform the American people and then be ready to blunt our efforts to tell the truth. They're being funded to the tune of $2 million to try and stop the truth movement in this country. So expect it to get worse. They will lie to you. They will tell you that you'll see video of like maybe three or four guys doing the shooting, and they'll say it's just one. Do not listen to them. Believe what you're seeing with your eyes as long as it's a good, clear shot. I'm not talking about grainy video. I'm talking about, you know, normal Joe Blows on the street. They're saying what they saw. They don't know each other. They have no agenda. And as long as the system wants to use that, then you know then – I'm sorry, the system does not want to use that, then you know that that's the truth. You know, people need a toolbox, a mental toolbox to sift out what's correct, what's and what's not. And without programs like this, it's going to be hard for them to do it. If you're a CNN, you know, groupie and you believe everything they say, well, you're in the matrix and you're in the real world.
Well, you know, you look at, you know, speaking, you know, now we're on the confusion topic here. You listen to all of these, and I call them actors. That's because it's what they are. I don't really consider them real witnesses. But every one of them have the stories are so far apart. Now, I do know that, when you get in an incident, you've got several people, everybody's going to have a little bit different. But these are so far completely different than everybody else. It's too far apart. That, to me, it almost seems like they have too many scripts and they've given too many different scripts out to too many people, and it's not coordinated correctly. If they're going to do one of these events, at least they can do is just have one script and give it to everybody so everybody's on the same page. But they don't. I mean,
well,
we got one guy claiming that he was 50 feet away, and then 2 seconds later he was only inches away, and claiming that the gunman was on his knees firing when we watched the TMZ video, and it showed that this guy was never on his knees. And,
well,
I mean, it just...
I think it's a good thing that they're making mistakes. See, these mistakes are invisible to the people that believe whatever CNN says. But to us, they are blaring road signs that there is something wrong. There is something wrong that beckons more investigation. So the more that they make mistakes, it's actually good.
Right.
I invite them to keep making their stupid, idiotic mistakes because to us, it aids us in trying to find the truth. If Mickey Mouse is going around killing people, God forbid that they actually really do this. If the Mickey Mouse is going around people and killing people at a birthday party, and then we hear Donald Duck did it. Okay, well, you know what? That's a blaring misrepresentation of what the victims may have said. So then that's their error. Then we know something's wrong. But if everybody's on the same page, it looks creditable, and that's not what we want. We want them to
right.
fall on their face and look like they're absolute idiots because it's going to help us in the long run.
Well, no, I totally agree with it. But unfortunately, far too many people, they don't want to hear that. All they want to believe is just what they see on television, and that's it. And here's another thing that really drives me nuts is this over-exaggeration of fear. That's what they want to create. They want to create this fear. Now, I'm watching this unfold on Friday, sitting at home with my mom and my two brothers. We're watching TV when it first came out. And they're moving all these people out on the tarmac. And the first thought that I came through my mind, what the hell are they moving these people out on the tarmac for? Because we've already had reports that there was a second shooter. Whether there was or there wasn't, first of all, you're going to move all these people out on the tarmac. If there was a shooter on the roof, these people they're sitting ducks. They're a target. I would feel more comfortable on the aircraft rather than getting out and going on to this tarmac. Well, I seen another video, and this was what really drove me nuts. And this was done specifically for the cameras. They got this one big like truck out there on, you know, close to the runway, and they got these other people on the left that are just kind of hanging out. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they've got these people that are kind of crunched down behind this truck, and then you see this one guy get up and motion them to get running, you know, out of the way, and then when they get running out of the way, he motions them to come back. So they come running back, and they all hide behind this – well, really wasn't a truck. They were just hiding behind there, and that was done for the camera. So people are at home are watching
right.
this going, oh, my God, these people are in so much fear. It's, oh, my God, it's got to be horrible. They're running for their lives. They're not running for their lives. I mean, the people will buy this. People will do it. Whenever a cop tells them to do, go ahead and run out on the tarmac, I wouldn't go running out on the tarmac. So a cop was to tell me to get off the aircraft and go on the tarmac? No, I'm not. You're going to have to take me in, buddy. I mean, I'm not running out there if there's a real shooter. I'm not running out on the tarmac to be a freaking sitting duck. That didn't even make any sense.
Right.
And they had literally thousands of people out on that tarmac. And that was just simply to create fear. That's what they want. They want the American people to be fearful. Because if you're fearful, well then, oh, okay, I'll go along with all of this law and that law and take this away and take that away, take all my freedoms away as long as I'm safe.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's what it is.
Right.
And that's what really bothers me, Chuck. That really does. And far too many Americans are too easy to just comply with that. No, I mean, I don't
yeah,
know
are.
What I can do. You know, I mean, but here's another thing. This is what happens anytime you have one of these shootings. If you've noticed, Yeah, we have it on the news for a couple of days, and then we start to find out all of the real truth, and it turns out to be a red flag. Guess what happens? Well, the media stops talking about it. It's like it never even happened again.
Right.
It's like it never even happened. And that's what this is. When was the last time you heard anything? It only was in the news for a couple of days. People started realizing what was really going on. Red flag here, red flag there, false flag here, false flag there. And the media goes, oh, we don't want to get busted. Let's go on to something else. Oh, let's look at Kim Kardashian. She was actually robbed. And we found the robbers and they arrested them. I mean, enough is enough, you know? Kim Kardashian? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, the system wants fear, and that, again, is another component of warfare. Fear overwhelms and dictates over common sense, and this is why police and military train to put their fear in check and concentrate on their training. The American people don't know that. This is actually is a partial psychological operation where these occurrences either fake or real, or there's some conflagration of both of them, some type of
combination. Yeah, absolutely.
They still want the American people to be very fearful, because that is the fear you can use. And what you're describing is, you know, for the camera, they have these people run back and forth for cover. Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, in that scenario, I hope to God that I was carrying, because I'm running. You shooting? Okay. Well, I'm going to shoot back, and I'm good. So, you know, and that's not the power that they want Americans to have. When there's a shooting, we're not running because we're armed. We're not going to run. I wouldn't run. You know, it'd be over before you start. The first two shots, and then the third shot will be one going in his head.
Yeah, but they're not running to anywhere. This is another thing. When you look at the wide angles, these people are running into nowhere. They're running into nowhere land. What are you running to?
Right.
And then we see – now, if you watch that TMZ video, this is why, again, why I asked if that video was shot somewhere else. Because you watch this guy. He pulls out the his pistol out of his we had it under his pants in his stomach, and he just starts shooting. Well, these three old ladies that were standing behind there, one of them goes and runs and hides behind this like luggage rack, but she's not really hiding behind it. She's running and hides beside it. And what is she blocked? She's not being blocked in any way. That didn't even make any sense.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
obviously, somebody told her, you know, just go run and hide behind something. And she didn't know what to hide behind. And that's why
As 3 feet away, he can't see her. Right. As 3 feet away, crouching in front of him, he can't see her. Right. Yeah. It's the liberal shelter in place mentality. Where even the public schools, you know, the teachers are taught to lock the door, turn off the lights, pull the shades down, and if there's a shooter in the hallway, okay, he knows school is in session. you're hiding in this room. They know you're there. Hello, you know. So it's this mental illness that if you hide and you're quiet, even in front of the guy who's doing the shooting or the murdering or the stabbing or driving a car, that somehow you'll be safe. Instead of empowering the American people to have their Second Amendment, carry their firearms, observe the Second Amendment, and end these things before they start. How many shootings like this have happened in gun-free zones? Pretty much like all of them. All of them.
But, you know,
she goes
and runs and hides beside, not behind, the luggage rack, which just is a couple of bars and a couple of wheels. So she really wasn't hiding for anything. Now, here's something else that I noticed. There was one man that was in view of the camera, and he looks like he gets up and he's moving around, but he was pixelated out. So that tells me, was this a guy that was supposed to have been shot and he let his face be shown? Was he a guy that was supposed to be wounded or killed and they didn't want to let anybody know? That's what drove me nuts. Why was this only one man pixelated out of that video. Watch that video again, and you'll see the guy come up in the foreground, and he looks like he's coming up, and he's moving around, and then he gets out of view of the camera. Probably somebody told him, hey, dude, you know, you're not supposed to be in the camera. You're supposed to be shot and supposed to be dead. Now, here's another thing. With that guy, now, this was what really convinced me that there was crisis actors on the scene. There was the guy that was outside of the terminal, and he was outside of the terminal. It was outside, and he was looked like he was on the concrete area there, and he's holding up his arm, and you see all this blood. I don't know if you could bleed that much from an arm wound or not. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but he's holding his arm up, and it's for a long time. And you've got airport workers that are they're videotaping it from their phones, and nobody's going to help this guy. And then all of a sudden, here comes an EMT truck. Well, the EMT truck pulls up, and you got a guy get out, and he goes around to the driver's side. They don't go anywhere near the guy who's wounded, and then the truck backs up. And they just leave the guy. Well, he's there for a few more minutes, and all of a sudden this one cop, this fat cop, a big fat guy, probably, you know, he needs to lose a couple of pounds. He goes over there, and he kind of bends over and hunches over and looks like he's talking to him, and then he leaves. And then it's a certain time later that all of a sudden now what the news shows you is this crew – this EMT crew, and they come over there and they're moving the stretcher up and down, up and down. It's like they don't know what the hell to do. Do they move it up or do they move it down? And nobody's really helping this guy. Now, to me,
right.
And then you have one guy in the background. You can hear the sound. There's somebody saying, oh, my God, why is nobody helping this guy? I'm thinking to myself, yeah, why? You got all these cops running around. Look, all cops know CPR. Everybody knows CPR. You go into the military, you know CPR. A lot of people know CPR. A lot of people know how to dress a wound. It doesn't take very much, you know, brain power
right.
to dress a wound. But nobody was helping this guy. And the EMT crew, they weren't even helping this guy. That told me right there that was a fake wound. That wasn't real.
Well,
and then when
what
you see all the blood drops. Go ahead.
What you're describing was the lack of urgency that I also reported on with the Impakwa shooting in Oregon, very similar occurrences where the people who are having certain training, like EMTs, police, were not acting as though. They were employing that very same training. They were doing something different. And that right there is a red flag. Now, do I believe that there were crisis actors or something, a whole bunch of funny stuff going on? I do believe that, yes. But the fact that they actually caught this guy and now he's going to court over it, I do believe that he actually did kill one or two people. And they decided to have a live drill to supplement what was going on at the very same time. And then they've already admitted that they did do a drill right after the shooting, which was very poorly timed, hint, hint. So,
you know,
that
always happens.
I believe
Sandy Hook was the same way. They were always having drills at the same time that they have these mass shootings. Now, how can you always
right.
have a real shooting the same time that you're having a drill? I'm sorry, coincidence? Not.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean.
Sandy Hook was a complete fake. It was a complete
fake.
It's total. The school was shut down because of hurricane damage. There was mold all over the walls, and it was not even being used.
It was a storage unit. There was no kids in there. It was pathetic.
Right.
You know,
right. It was abandoned. It was abandoned and shut down, and they just decided to have a drill that very same day. So, there's a lot of credibility in what you're saying. But in this case, though, I do believe that they did a hybrid where they actually did have a live shooter backed up by crisis actors
right.
in other parts of the terminal. So I think that this is one of the very few hybrids. So honestly, to tell you the truth, I think that they're changing their tactics slightly because they're listening to us. They're listening to the truth movement, and they're saying, hey, how can we outsmart these guys next time?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good what we're doing, and at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, we don't want to let them know that we know, but there is no other way to inform the American people of what's going on other than the truth. We don't want the bad guys to have the truth, but we want to have the truth, and there's no way to segregate waking up the American people and keeping the bad people in the dark. You just can't do it. So
you know,
I honestly
but
think
you
that
know,
this
what
was
still
a,
drives
a
me
unique.
Absolutely insane is here you have little guys like me, like you, like Raquel, and like the rest of us on Blog Talk Radio. We're able to identify, we're able to see the truth, we're able to discern what the truth is, and here we have the media who has more resources than we could ever even possibly imagine. Why? The lack of curiosity in our media is dangerous. It's beyond pathetic. It's dangerous. Why are they not questioning this? Why are they not asking the same questions that we're asking? You know, obviously they're in fear too. They don't want to lose their job. Well, is your job really worth
right.
it? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, is your job really worth
it?
Oh, yeah,
would,
you get that $20 million a year, and, oh, look at me, I'm on prime time. Oh, look at me. Well, what about the truth? When is the truth going to start playing a factor in this? That's what I'd like to know.
If I was a journalist, the very first people or area that I would focus on is investigating and interviewing the people most directly responsible for returning his firearm back to him. Now, he could
right.
have got a firearm from somewhere else. I'm not saying that he was completely handicapped by not having his firearm returned to him. What I would say is that it just made it a hell of a lot easier. So I,
right.
if I was a journalist, I would go find out who's the officer, who's his supervisor, what is the state law regarding this. I would dive into that story
mm-hmm.
like it's a pool of hot babes at a swimming pool party. So that is not being done. So,
no.
You know, I just, like I said, it's the false flag. It's the new age false flag. So what does this tell you? Honestly, this is a hybrid false flag where they actually had the active shooter with possible crisis actors. And this is what you have to look forward to in the future, is that they will let some crazy wackaroony do the shooting, and then they'll just embellish by having actors in the background and trying to make everybody scared. So this is their new program to look out for in the future.
Well, you know, here's you know, you just hit on a good point. And here's my point, is if this is a real shooting, how do these crisis actors know when and where to show up, and why are they always there at the right time? And why were there so many camera crews? I'm watching these videos of these people that are being directed to run, and it look, you know, obviously run for the camera, and you got a guy over here who's the crisis actor director, and then you've got three guys with these cameras on there. And they're not running anywhere. If there's a real shooter, just because you got a camera, you know, you're safe because you're hiding behind a camera. How does CNN know when and where to show up? And why are all these camera crews there at the airport? So that tells me right there that you're right. They did know this was a hybrid. They knew something was going to go. Something was going to happen.
Yes.
They knew it. They were
yes.
already there in place. They had all their people in there. They had all their camera crews. They had everything. They're ready to go. All the thing they needed was just for the shooter to come out and start shooting, and they can start shooting. So, I mean, I don't
right.
know.
So we know that he was the actual assailant, a real live assailant in this, because he's been arrested. He's been arraigned. And, you know, he's already the judges informed them that they will be seeking the death penalty in this case. So we know that actors will not go through that type of process. So we know that he's a real live nutball, nut job.
Right.
So just keep that in mind going forward. I want to see what sentence is carried out. If he does get the death penalty, he deserves it. Because there's absolutely no reason that you should assail innocent people. If you feel bad about your life, if it sucks, you know what? I don't condone suicide. But if you know, there's tens of innocent people that are going to lose their lives, mothers, fathers, dads, you know, children, loved ones. And, you know, in contrast, you could just off yourself somewhere quietly and just do that. Save the world, pain and agony, and just, you know, end your own life. I'm all for that. I'm all for it.
But I still don't understand why there was so much, such a lack of security. And why is there lack? You know, I remember before 9/11, when you went to go check your luggage, before I stopped checking my luggage, I hate to check my luggage. I just put everything in one little bag and I put it on the aircraft. But beforehand, there were police officers, there were agents there. This was before 9/11, and you had to, you know, show that this was your actual luggage, and they checked your ID and they checked all this stuff. Now there's nothing. Why was there such a lack of security at the baggage claim and, you know, arrivals and departures? This is what I'd like to know. And I mean, it only took like 45 seconds, I guess, for this guy to shoot. And then the cops come in and I guess he just lays down and, you know, they took him undercover. But, you know, why is there such a lack of security, especially after 9/11? You would think that not only arrivals, but departures would have security, because you look at arrivals and departures, anybody can walk in and they don't check you before you get to arrivals and departures. You just drive up. You could drive up with a loaded machine gun and just start blowing people away. Why is there no security at arrivals and departures? And even after this incident, like I told you, when I flew home from Portland to New York, there was no security anywhere. No, nothing. Not one cop. I didn't see one cop. Nobody. Maybe they were incognito, but I mean, still, you would think you would see some kind of presence of law enforcement.
Well, without touching or diving too deeply into the 9/11 issue, the Bush administration wanted the American people to be scared and fearful,
right,
because of the system's response to. Because of 9/11, I actually was in a very heated discussion with a lieutenant colonel here locally, and he was responsible for donating some of his men to police the local airports in the tri-state area here. And I asked him, I got into a very, very deep discussion with him. I asked him, I says, now, you guys are walking around with M4s. I says, what would happen if you had to use them on a citizen, meaning that you're the military, keeping posse comitatus in full focus? What would happen? He says, well, little do you know, none of our guns had ammunition in them. The U.S. military, the National Guard, would have their butts hung out to dry if an American citizen was killed because of a National Guardsman on patrol. So back during the Bush years, and I'm talking about little Bush, all the security actually was just a facade. A lot of the National Guardsmen walking around did not have guns and did not have ammunition in their weapons. The only people that had anything were the police. And that was done so just to make the American people feel like the Bush administration was doing something for security, when in fact it was just a paper tiger. Now today you see that, you know, they may not have that very same presence here. It will take the FBI nowadays to declare a specific targeted threat to certain valued infrastructure places, and that would engender a response from the local areas. But in this case, the Fort Lauderdale shooting was an isolated incident. It's not something that he was part of a group and they said, we're just going to hit three or four cities at the same time. So all these airports set policy if they are not warned by the federal government. They set policy locally by themselves. So what may be happening at one airport is not necessarily going to be happening at another airport security-wise, because it's everybody, each airport deals with its own security profile. So that is really not a real big shocker. It's just how the things work nowadays.
Well, when I'm watching, the reason why is because I'm watching this on TV, and the local news comes on, And they're saying, yeah, PDX, we're going to be boosting up security. And they brought even a police chief on there and said, oh, yeah, we're going to be boosting up security. We're going to be having canine units. We're going to be having this. We're going to be having that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, it's going to take me forever to get through, you know, the security checkpoints. And here it is on a Friday night. It really wasn't that crowded. I know most people have already flown home. This was on the 6th of January. But still a Friday night. You would think there would be a lot more people, but they're telling us, the news is telling us that they got all the security that's going to be there. And there was nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing.
Right.
It's like almost they wanted another event to happen. You know, I mean, I don't know, but none of this stuff makes any sense. The camera crews that are already there, CNN, why CNN is there automatically, how they knew to get there, and they were interviewing so-called witnesses just moments after. It's like, how does CNN know when to show up? You've got, you know, all of these different witness accounts that are just bogus. You've got, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And like I said, I mean, I took all these notes. I got all these papers here of all the stuff that just doesn't add up. Nothing makes any sense with this. And again, I don't know if we covered this or not. I'm getting old, so sometimes I do get a little Alzheimer-ick. But what is this story with Canada claiming that – is there any truth to that, that Canada has claimed that they didn't know who he was, that he didn't check – not only did he not check aboard any plane coming from Canada, but he didn't check any weapon? I mean, what is the truth of that? We only heard that a little bit, and then now the media is on to Kim Kardashian. But, I mean – how much validity is into that? Now, that's another story right there.
Well,
if you're a real journalist, why wouldn't you go to Canada and find out what the hell?
Right. It was honestly, it's either one of two things, and I've chalked it up to bad reporting. I don't think that the airport's administration knew at that time conclusively where the plane came from. It was outbound from Alaska, and that's in the
Alaska,
direction of Canada,
right.
So they just said Canada. So I just think that they just went with whatever they thought at the time and updated the media as the crisis carried on. But it was bad reporting to begin with, because that is exactly what they said, is that the plane departed from Canada. And if you've ever been to Canada, you know for a fact that a lot of the police in Canada don't even carry weapons. The citizens are not allowed to carry weapons. And as much as Canada has tried, they've tried to disarm the Canadian citizens as much as they can. So even on its face, that story doesn't make sense.
Right.
So
this is what
there's
I
no
to
way
ask
that an American
you.
Citizen.
Right. The reason why I wanted to ask you this is because, first of all, I don't care if you're coming from Alaska or not, coming from the United States. But you're going into another country, and that other country,
right,
as far as I know, I mean, they've got much stricter gun laws than the United States. Nobody's allowed. I don't think in Canada you can even be allowed to check a gun on an aircraft like you can in America. I'm pretty
right,
sure
you
can't.
You can't.
You can't.
The rules for American citizens that are coming from the United States going to Alaska is that a firearm, meaning a handgun, cannot go in on Canadian soil whatsoever.
Right.
If you are going to Alaska and you're transporting a handgun, you have to give it to UPS and send it to yourself. If
right.
you're transporting a rifle, and this comes basically from NRA instructors, you can transport the rifle up certain highways in Canada going to Alaska. But, you know, a handgun, no. Oh, a handgun definitely is a no-no in Canada. So, like I said, just on its face, that was a misreporting, because anybody that knows firearms or has had any experience with NRA, proper NRA instruction, knows that you cannot have a gun inside of Canada, a handgun inside of Canada. There's just no way.
You're right. See, that's what just doesn't make any sense to me, unless the plane went directly from Alaska into the United States, and then he changed planes. But it doesn't look like it. He went from Alaska to Canada and then into Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Now, also, you've got could somebody have planted a gun, which could be very easy to plant a gun in a bathroom? Anybody can walk into departures at the baggage claim. Nobody's going to check you. Nobody's going to say anything. You can walk in. You can walk in with a gun, plant it in a bathroom. The guy can come in and take it. Again, I mean, there's so many questions to this. None of it makes any sense. And how do we find out the truth? Well, we're never going to find out the truth. That's the problem. That's where the problem is.
Well, the system has already admitted that they returned his weapon to him, and the TSA has already admitted that he did check his weapon in. I honestly just don't think that the weapon was checked in a properly locked TSA
way.
Case, aside from the ammunition. I think that they just let him transport it in his bag because they just felt sorry for him or didn't feel like holding his flight up. But, again, I have been in that situation where I have been threatened that if I did not have the proper lockable cases to transport separately my ammunition and my firearm, that I would not fly. I would miss my flight. And in that case, if that is the case with the Orlando, with the Fort Lauderdale shooter, he would have not been able to fly, and he would have been stuck in Alaska. Therefore, that shooting would not have happened in Florida.
Right.
So I'm still waiting on that confirmation as to how he transported his firearm, because that's just as important as them giving it back to him.
Oh, absolutely.
If you can follow my logic with that.
No, absolutely. And here's another thing. If you are going to transport your gun, and I understand, you know, why somebody would want to transport their gun, they're moving or this or that or whatever, and I don't have a problem with people transporting their gun. But here's the problem that I have. If you're going to transport your gun, it just seems to me to be logical, and I know that's going to get me in trouble one day, all this logic and common sense I have, but it just seems to me that if you're going to transport a gun, like what you were talking about, you have to have it in a, you know, a certain locked box, and the ammunition must be separate from the gun. But it also seems to me that if you are going to be transporting a gun, you're not going to be able to check or pick up that weapon in the same place where you're going to pick your baggage up. So that weapon should actually be taken to somewhere else, a more secured area where you go in there and you go through all of this and you get your gun and then you immediately go in your car and leave. It just seems to me that if you're going to check your gun on an aircraft, where you pick it up should be completely separate, a separate area, a secured area other than the baggage claim, the normal baggage claim. I mean,
right.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
Because no, you're absolutely dead on, because anyone can be waiting there and pick your weapon and your ammunition and hurry and leave before you actually get there, assuming
right.
that you know, let's say you're stuck in a bathroom, or you know you're sick a little bit, and then somebody just sees your lockable case, and they know what it is, and they just pick it up and run with it. I honestly do believe that there should be a separate administration, a separate building, or a separate room where there's an officer or some type of TSA official or government, I should say, public servant, to
right.
make sure that firearm is getting to the right person, but then on the flip side, if that even was done in this case, it wouldn't have stopped the shooting, because he still had possession of his firearm while being mentally unfit at the time.
Right.
So,
but, I mean,
if he's separate away
from the people, it might have stopped something. I mean, it's got to be separate. It's got to be a completely different part of the airport, not the baggage claim. It's got to be somewhere different. And, you
right.
know, the box
so,
obviously should be locked where you know, it can't be easy to open up. And how much ammunition? Now, I've got reports. Here's another thing. I got reports of 8 people that were wounded, 5 were dead, 8 people wounded. But I've also got another report where I found that like 37 people were wounded. I mean, what is the real story? How many people were actually shot, and how many magazines did this guy have on him, and how many magazines can you actually carry on with your firearm? Even though I know they got to be separate, but I mean, you can't be. I mean, there's only so much ammunition, I would think, right, that you'd be able to carry.
I don't think that there's a limit on magazines that you can transport. I honestly don't think that there's a limit on ammunition that you can transport, as long as it's in the locked case and it's in its original box that you purchased it in. I honestly don't think that that is an issue. But what I do take issue with is the handgun that he used and the amount of rounds that he had. Not that the smaller or bigger magazine would have done anything. I want to know what type of firearm that was, and how many times he reloaded. How many magazines did he use? Not necessarily to demonize the magazine, just for full disclosure.
For
cross referencing, how many people? Because I saw two people. I visually saw two people allegedly shot and laying down in agony. Okay. Now, I don't know where all these 30-something people came from. I don't know that. Maybe, you know, there's extra video because it may prejudicial a fair trial that they're holding on to. And let me explain this. When the Boston bomber dropped his pyrotechnic, they waited until after the trial to release the video of him actually doing that. And I do believe that they're trying to hold on to the video so that it doesn't give prejudicial coloring to a fair trial in the future. I mean,
right.
The media doesn't want to be responsible or hold a bag or being blamed for basically convicting a guy before the
right.
trial. So I can understand that. But in the case of the Boston bomber, we actually do see him dropped the bomb right next to a little boy that was playing, and everybody blew up. But that was a pyrotechnic. It was supposed to look more threatening than it was. But if you're close to a pyrotechnic, it can still kill you too. And a young boy actually did die. But everybody else were crisis actors and played the part. But like I said, that is also in layers. But that video I did not have access to during the time before the trial. I only got access to that video just after the first trial. So in this case, I do believe that we are going to see video of him shooting. If there is more victims, they're going to release that after the trial because they don't want to, you know, mess up the concept of a fair trial.
Right, but when you watch the video, it doesn't look like he's got. I mean, he might have, you know, a magazine or two in his pocket, but it doesn't look like he's carrying a lot of ammunition with him. He just pulls it out of his pants and, you know, starts shooting. Now, I think he had a bag or he had something. I mean, he could have reloaded, but I don't know. It's just, again, none of this stuff is really starting to add up. None of it makes any sense. And that stupid governor, I got to cover this. This is, I mean, this guy, the governor of Florida, Governor Scott. And I shouldn't play this because this guy is such an idiot. I mean, I just don't understand these people at all of why they even speak. Why are they even speaking? Makes no sense to me. Now, hear this, and here's another thing. With you see these, you know, well, I call them crisis actors because they're laughing. There's too many of them that are laughing. There's one guy standing behind a truck, and he's cracking up. I don't know. Somebody told them a joke. They're supposed to be running for their lives and hiding behind a truck, and they're laughing? This is not a laughing matter. That drives me nuts. But this jackwagon, the governor of Florida, Governor Scott. Now, I want to play this to you. Now, here he is. He's talking about what he calls positive stories. Positive stories. I mean, if this is really true and all these people were really shot and really killed There's not one positive story that's going to come out of this. But he's talking about it. He's just babbling. And talking about this one guy's got three bullets in him, and he calls Matt Damon. Why would you call Matt Damon and say, yeah, I could run faster than you? Well, first of all, I didn't know Matt Damon was a real fast runner. I mean, is he an Olympian all of a sudden? I mean, this is what I don't understand. This is the governor. And you listen to the police chief that they interview, and the guy's mumbling and stumbling. He has no idea what is really happening. And this is another thing that just drives me insane when they have these so-called, you know, spokespeople that get up and talk. It's don't talk. Don't give a press conference. You're an idiot. Now, I'm going to play this just to expose this moron. And he is a moron. It's only about 30 seconds long. But this is the governor. He's doing a press conference. The governor of Florida doing a press conference. I want to show you just how stupid, and he's a liberal, and just how stupid this guy is. So go ahead and play this cut.
About is the positive stories. I had one that told Johnny Damon that he could outrun him, even though he had three bullets in him. So there's some positive stories. But you know, I'll tell you, when you talk to people that have been impacted, they're appreciative. They're appreciative of the care they're getting. The people here, the caregivers here are outstanding. They're very appreciative of the care. Now, you know, if you lost somebody, you know, it's just traumatic. I mean, because it's totally out of context.
Out of context? I mean, what the hell is this guy talking? Why is he speaking? I mean, you know what I'm saying, Chuck? I mean, I hated to play this, but I had to play it just to show just how stupid our leaders really are. And this guy's got three right. bullets in him, and he's calling Matt Damon. How many people do you know who get shot are going to think, and how does this guy know Matt Damon's phone number? If you got shot three times, Chuck, who's the first person you're going to call? You're going to call an ambulance, or are you going to call, you know, Matt Damon and say, yeah, I got three bullets in me, but I could still outrun you? I mean, what the hell was that about? That didn't even make any sense to me. This guy's giving a press conference. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? This is what I mean.
Yeah, that's really strange.
But, the whole press conference.
While I have you here, I don't mean to change the subject. My phone is about to die, so I'm going to have to go in about 5 minutes. I don't want to just, you know, talk, and then all of a sudden, and I just end. But, yeah,
no,
you're hitting it right on the head. There's mental illness in our elected leaders, or I should elected leaderlessness, and that was really just out of place, and just it didn't make sense to me. It's like putting a round peg in a square hole.
But I mean, was he trying to make us feel better about this situation? See, this is what it just doesn't make any sense. Don't try to make me feel better about the situation. If it's a real situation, okay, you know, we're not going to feel better because of you giving us these so-called positive stories. And you know, don't just shut up. That's all I'm saying. But in any event, Chuck, I'm going to get out of here myself. My system is about ready to run out as well. But anyway, Chuck, I really want to appreciate, I really do appreciate you climbing on board here tonight, and talking to us. It's always a pleasure to have you on board, your insight, your knowledge. And I love talking to you. But at the end of the day, none of this makes any sense. And before you go, I think it's safe to say we're going to have another one. Am I wrong? We're going to have another one of these mass shootings. I don't know if it's in a school or an airport.
You're dead on. But look for the inconsistencies. Look for the things that you're not being told. Trust your eyes to the point where, you know, use your toolbox, your mental toolbox, to navigate what's the truth and what's not. Look for the inconsistency. Look for the things that don't make sense, like saying that he flew in from Canada. Look for those things. Look for the mistakes. But keep your mind open for the things, the occurrences that actually do happen. You're going to have to kind of shake it out and see how it goes. But, yes, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be more. It's a foregone conclusion. There's going to be more. So, again, we'll be waiting, hopefully, to critique it and tell the American people what's really going on. I don't want that to happen, meaning, you know, the innocent lives being taken, but it's something that we just can't stop.
Now, hey, look, we all got to be vigilant, and you're right. We've got to look for the inconsistencies, and we can't just simply accept what the television tells us, because what the television tells us is not the truth. It's just simply not. It isn't. We're not going to get the news from the news. You're just not going to do it. Time to accept it and start demanding that we get the truth, which means you might have to call your local news station. It might mean you have to call Fox. You have to do this. We have to do this. You know, we have to demand the truth. If we want the truth, we're going to have to demand it, and we're going to have to do the work. We're going to have to do the work. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to have to sweat a little bit. That's okay. A little hard work doesn't hurt anybody. It's just the way it is. So, any event, Chuck, again, I really appreciate you climbing on board. You're always welcome aboard this program. Thank you much for your insight. I'm going to get out of here in a couple of minutes. I know your phone is about ready to go. But if there's anything else that you want to say before you depart, you got the floor.
Well, I do thank you, Captain, for inviting me on. I appreciate you as well for allowing me to share my insight, because my honest aspiration is that, you know, we keep the American people unified and informed at the same time, because I want my kids to grow up in a free society, freer than the one that I grew up in. So that is my motivation. I don't get paid for this. This is a free service.
I don't get paid. I got to pay to come on the air. That's what, you know, so unbelievable. Well, anyway, Chuck, I'm hoping that you're having a good New Year's, and I hope the New Year is better. We got Trump. Hey, let's give him a shot. Maybe he can clean some of this stuff up, and we won't have these mass shootings anymore. We're always going to have a mass shooting, but hopefully he can, you know, clean something up. Hopefully America can wise up and just simply stop accepting just whatever we're told. We can't do that. You got to question everybody and everything, and it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's not being pessimistic. That's not being pessimistic. That's just being intelligent. That's all that is. So.
Right.
Well,
all right.
Anyway.
Thank you, Captain.
You're welcome. Good night, Chuck. All right. Now, before I close here, I really hate to say this, but I do think that we are going to have another mass shooting of some sorts. I know there's a lot of people that really believe that Barack Obama is going to do everything he can to create some kind of chaos where he can stay in office and declare martial law. I've been poo-pooing that and poo-pooing that and poo-pooing that. But now I got to give it consideration. I got to give it legitimate consideration. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm really believing that it won't, but I still got to give it some kind of consideration. I really do. And it sucks. I don't want to. I don't want to believe in this. I just want the truth. And I really don't give a damn what the truth is. I just want the truth. But we're not getting the truth. We're not getting the truth from the news. We're not getting the truth from anywhere. We're not getting it from the newspapers. We're not getting it from the magazines. And we're certainly not getting it from that idiot, Meryl Streep. And Donald Trump was absolutely 100% correct when he called her overrated. I've always thought, even as a kid, that Meryl Streep was an overrated actor. But I couldn't say that. Why? Well, you can't say that. She won an Oscar. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? Oh, you won an Oscar? That means what? What does that mean? Look, Oscars are not given. Golden Globes are not given for artistic merit. They're not given for artistic merit. It's unlike the Olympics. Olympics, you get a gold medal because you earned it. You don't get it because you look pretty and because you hate Donald Trump. And you hate guns, you're not going to get a gold medal. Well, I'm sorry, but Meryl Streep, you are overrated, and there was no call for that. That's unprofessional. And I'm an actor myself, and there is no call for that kind of speech. You were given an award for some cockamamie movie that sucked. All you could do is be thankful and grateful and thank the people that voted for you. Thank your audience. Shut up and get off the friggin' stage. It is not up to you to lecture me on Donald Trump. It's not your place. I'm sorry, it's not your place. It is not your place to tell me who I'm supposed to like and who I'm supposed to not like. Because Meryl Streep doesn't like Donald Trump, that means I'm supposed to change my entire way of life, my entire way of thinking? Because some Hollywood jackass doesn't like a certain person? I don't care who you like or who you dislike. I don't care what you do in your stupid lives. I don't care what anybody does in their life. I don't care if people use drugs. I don't give a damn. You want to inject heroin into your eyeball? Hey, that's up to you, man. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. What the hell should I care? You want to inject that crap? Go ahead. Do it. Knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Unless you directly affect me or someone I know or anybody else in a negative manner, care what you do in your life. I just don't care. That's another thing. American people, you've got the world, not really just so much American people, but the entire world. We got to start minding our own business. Take care of yourself instead of taking care of everybody else. If you notice that everybody seems to be more concerned with everybody else's life except for their own, why? Why? I mean, I don't have enough time to worry about somebody else's life. I got enough crap going on in my own life. And I can't even handle that. And I'm supposed to worry about somebody else's life? I don't give a damn about your stupid life. Now, if you come up to me and ask me for help or something, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. If you're a friend of mine, you're down and out, yeah, I'm going to be concerned, sure. But I'm not going to go out of my way and worry about somebody I don't even know. Oh, they voted for this person. They voted for that person. Oh, they think this way. They do that. They do this. Pop, 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 pop. And it's up to me to go over there and lecture them? Ghoul them? Who? What? No, take care of yourself, man. Take care of yourself. Let other people take care of themselves. Don't get up there and lecture me about Donald Trump. And first of all, Meryl Streep, he was not making fun of this guy with a mental disability. And if she's really so concerned about people with mental disabilities, how about those four black kids who tortured, and held captive that one white kid with mental disabilities, made him drink toilet water, cut his clothes up with a knife, tied him up, made him say F Trump and F white people and all this, blah, 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 blah. But CNN won't call that a hate crime. Really? Huh. How come you didn't say anything about that, Meryl Streep? Huh? Why didn't you say anything about that? And that Roman Polanski, which is screw Roman Polanski. First of all, his movies were not that good. I did not think that this guy was that good of a director. I'm sorry. His movies were not that good. And Meryl Streep was giving him a standing ovation. He drugs this girl who was, what, I think 12 or 11 or 12 years old, something like that. Drugs her up and rapes the living hell out of her all night. And that's why he can't come back to the United States. He's not allowed in the United States. He comes in the United States. He goes straight to jail. He left the United States to avoid going to jail. How about that, Meryl Streep? Why would you give this guy a standing ovation? Why would you praise this man in any way? He drugged a young girl. Drugged her. And then raped her all night long. How about that, Meryl Streep? Did Donald Trump ever rape a young girl, drug her up and rape her all night long, and then leave the country to avoid prosecution? Did Donald Trump do that, Meryl Streep? Oh, that's right, he did not. God almighty. All right, I've had about enough. I'm about to lose my friggin' mind. Enough is enough. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I was watching all this crap here today, and I was drunk watching this crap. My brain is, I mean, just nonsense after nonsense after nonsense. I'm so sick and tired of it. I am just done with it. But we got to cover it. We got to talk about it, no matter how much the pain. We got to talk it. We got to face our demons. We got to face the bad things, and we got to face it head on, and we got to combat it, no matter how much it hurts. We can't just say ignore it and think that it's going to go away. We can't just think positively and things will change. We can't get a piece of legislation and everything will be rosy. That doesn't work that way. Life does not work that way. Sometimes you got to fight. Sometimes you got to fight. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to sweat. You got to fight. Sometimes you got to fight. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're fighting for the right cause, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're fighting for the wrong cause, what are you going to get out of it? Well, nothing but more wrong. Unfreaking believable. Well, anyway, I want to thank my guest, Chuck Williams. Again, I know he's off, but I want to thank Chuck Williams. I want to thank everybody. It's nice to be back on the air. It's been 3 weeks. I did have a nice vacation. It was so good to see my family and all my friends again. I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. And it was an accident that I even got the opportunity to do so, but it happened, and I took it, and I'm glad that I did. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.